So we'll chant the Das Avatar. Everyone can repeat after me. Bahamsi. Repeat. Bahamsi. Bahamsi. Bapusi. Basade. Basanam. Jaladabam. Hala. Hati. Biti. Milita. Namuna Nabam. All together. Bahamsi Vasasi Vasade Vasanti Jalavanam. All together. Halahati Biti Militi. Yamuna Bam. Keshavadrita Halidara Rupa Zajagadishari.
Keshavadrita Halidara Rupa Zajagadishari.
Zajagadishari. Now, all together, Bahamsi, all together. Nam Jaladam, Halahati Biti Muitam, Keshavadrita, Narupa, Dajagadishari. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form Bhrigupati, O Keshava, Lord of the Universe, Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body, you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna. Who feels great, remember Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. So Lord Balaram was called the river Yamuna. And Lord Balaram was intoxicated on Varuni, so she didn't want to come. So Balaram pulled out his plowshare and said, "You wretched river, why are you not coming?" And he started to drag the Yamuna with his plowshare, causing many tributaries. Then Yamuna Devi, the form of the Yamuna personified, came and bowed down to Lord Balaram to beg for forgiveness for not coming to his when he called. Manchakopa Truya Strakrivasindhavicha. Adhyanam Bhavna Yoga Vaishnavya Namonaha. Today is Balaram's appearance day, and it's Vishnu Tapa. He's a Vishnu Tapa. So we're fasting till noon. Before, when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, we used to fast till moonrise. And I don't know why they changed it. Right? And we were in Los Angeles and we were thinking, today we're fasting till moonrise, we don't have to go out and distribute books. We can stay back in the temple. No, the order came from the order came from Srila Prabhupada. Everyone should go out and distribute books. But we went out to distribute books, even though we were fasting. So we went to the parking lot and the small grocery store, and we were feeling a little tired. Let me sit down, take a little rest. So I sat down. Those days we went out in Dodi Kurta. Sat down, and all of a sudden a man came over, said, I want to give you a donation. So I had to stand up. And then I tried to distribute it again. Then I was tired, sat down again. And a little old lady came up, said, I want to give you a donation. So I had to stand up again. So Balaram didn't let me stand up that day. Saying this is still books, went back to temple and had a feast. So why are we fasting? We're fasting on this day. We're fasting on the days of the Acharyas because it is called Tapasya. So those words. So one should fast with great care and attention, just like you do on a Ekadasi. We should fast with great care and attention. Devotees, don't make excuses. If you're not sick, if you're not old, you should fast till noon. Because it's not so difficult. You can drink water. But that applies to Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance day, Gorkhasardas Babaji's appearance day, Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day, and Prabhupada's appearance day and disappearance day of all those acharyas, plus many other incarnations of the Lord. So fasting is tapasya, but it's also healthy. Some devotees are eating too much. It's not good to be fat. Rupa Goswami says, ill living, easy living, and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So if you're fasting on Ekadasi, fasting on these fast days, then it's less, your weight will reduce or stay the same. You won't get fat. So you can drink water. So Srila Prabhupada made this temple. First I'll read Lord Balaram. Who is Lord Balaram? Chaitanya Charitamrita. I leave 5, text number 8, 9, 10, 11. Lord Balaram is Shankarshan. He assumes 5 other forms to serve Krishna. Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Shankarshan. He himself is helped in the pastimes of Krishna. He does the work of creation in the form of other 4 forms, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. He executes the order of Krishna in the work of creation in the form of Lord Sesha. He serves Krishna in various ways. That same Balaram is Nityananda, companion of Lord Gaurasundara. Sri Balaram Gaura. Sri Balaram Gaura Gange Nityananda. So, Prabhupada came to America, started this movement in 1966, then he came back to India. He was in San Francisco. His health was not good. He thought if I came back to India, I could recover my health so I could push on. So when he left San Francisco, he said, now you young boys and girls, push on this movement. So they looked at each other and said, what movement? There was only a temple in New York and a temple in San Francisco. They didn't know they were in a movement. The Prabhupada was Tri Kalya. He knew there was a movement. Let there be temples. Told one man that there will be 108 temples. The Prabhupada won a temple in Vrindavan. He won a temple in Mayapur. He won a temple in Bombay. He won a temple in Hyderabad. He won a temple in Bhubaneswar. He won a temple in Delhi. He won a temple everywhere. And those weren't architects. They were architects, but they weren't engineers. They didn't know how to build a temple. But Krishna, but Prabhupada said, I want a temple. I want to hunting stalk Krishna Balaram. This is the first only Krishna Balaram temple. There's no Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. First is Krishna Balaram in Nanagram. So he gave the order that there be a temple. So the boys came here. They came on the land. There was nothing here. It was out in the boonies. Why does Prabhupada want a temple here? You can't even get a rickshaw. Because they won't, as soon as they come out here, they can't get anybody to go back. In those days, it was 1 rupee, 2 rupees for a rickshaw. They couldn't come back. They couldn't go back. They couldn't get a passenger to go back. There was nothing here. The Prabhupada said, make a temple. So they said, okay. They started the construction, got the land. It was donated. But other places we bought the land. Mumbai, Mayapur. Could have bought the land, but somehow it got donated. And then they decided they'd open the temple 1974 on Janmashtami. But unfortunately, they couldn't get cement. In those days you had to get cement from the government on consignment. It wasn't readily available. The problem came in 1974. He looked around and he said, no, we can't open the temple. So they decided they would open the temple in 1975 on Ram Navami. So they didn't know how to make a temple. They were always getting cheated, white skin. Even today, as soon as they see white skin, the dollar sign goes rolling around in their head. Cheat that boy, cheat him. Rickshawwalas, sabdiwalas, shopkeepers. Everyone wants to cheat the white elephants, the dancing white elephants. They have lots of money, why not cheat them? But Krishna is the bigger cheat. Prabhupada said, they said, open the temple in 1975. The local people, they wouldn't eat our cooking. But Prabhupada said, they won't eat our cooking, but they'll take our money. And Prabhupada's godbrothers, Puri Maharaj, asked for donation from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you won't eat our cooking, but you'll take our money. How can I give you our money? Our money's contaminated too. You can't take our money either. So this is the first Krishna Balaram temple, and somehow it got built very nicely. It was opened in 1975 on Ram Navami. So we should fast today until noon and pray for the mercy of Lord Balaram. Prabhupada said if you have any problems, then you should go to Lord Balaram and reveal your mind, open your mind to Lord Balaram. Help solve your problems. Of course, we're not like the Christians. We don't say, my dear Lord, give us our daily bread. But if you have a problem in devotional service and you need help, you can go and pray to Balaram. So now, who's going to speak? Panchagor will speak elaborately on the glories of Lord Balaram. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpa Turuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Balarama Ki Jai. It's a very auspicious day today, and I thought I'd read a little something to start off with. This is from the Vaishnava calendar. Many of you may have seen it, may even read it, but it's always fresh and new and very ecstatic. So hear it nicely. This is, who is Lord Balaram? The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He is the source of the entire spiritual world and is the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. So Krishna, he's just supreme enjoyer when he wants to create. Well, in our understanding, the spiritual world was manifest by Lord Balaram, and then he creates the material world. He comes, so he's doing all the preparatory work so that Lord Krishna can come and attract us to go back home to the spiritual kingdom. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And he does the work of creation in four other forms called the Chaturvyuha, four-armed forms known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Adi Ruda. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation and the form of Lord Shesha. He serves Sri Krishna in various ways. No one can approach Krishna without first getting the mercy of Baladev. They say also, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So our life business is to please Krishna, get the mercy, or approach Krishna, but only through Lord Baladev. So we have Krishna Balaram here. The descent of Balaram. Whenever Krishna appears in the material world, he's accompanied by his associates and paraphernalia. 5,000 years ago, when Krishna descended into the material world, he was first preceded by Baladev. Only after Baladev gave his mercy did Krishna descend. Such is the intimate relationship between Krishna and Baladev. How often does Krishna appear in this world? Like every 4,300,000,000 years, one day of Brahma? A long time. So we're very fortunate that just a very short time ago, 5,000 years ago, Balaram came, prepared everything, and Krishna and Balaram appeared. When Baladeva appeared as the seventh child in the womb of Devaki, she could understand that this was a divine child, and this made her all the more concerned about his safety. Even when Kamsa could sense his potency, he became fearful, thinking that maybe he may have been tricked by the prophecy that he would be slain only by the eighth child of Devaki. At this time, Krishna instructed Yogamaya, his personal potency, to transfer the unborn child from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini, one of the other wives of Vasudev, who was hiding from Kamsa in the house of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. Even on Janmashtami, while the devotees would be reading Krishna book, Prabhupada would be listening very attentively, because these writings and pastimes of the Lord are all divine. So the more we can hear about Krishna, the more we will remember Krishna. In this way, Balaram was born in Gokul under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. Gargamuni is the venerable Kul Guru, family priest of the Yadu dynasty, revealed to Rohini that the child she was carrying was indeed that of her husband Vasudev. At the time of the name-giving ceremony, he named the child Rama, one who gives all pleasure. What does Rama mean? One who gives all pleasure. Referring to the immense strength of the child, Gargamuni predicted that he will also be known as Balaram. Bala meaning strength. Since he was forcibly attracted from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini, he was also to be called Sankarshan. As the son of Rohini, he was known as Rohini Nandan. As the elder brother of Krishna, he was also called Dauji. Dinabandhu loves saying, "Oh, Dauji Maharaj ki." So, you know, the older brother of Krishna. The form of Lord Balaram. Powerful Lord Balaram is 16 years old, full of luster of youth, and has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. You know the color of crystal? It's got a transcendental bluish silver hue. He wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. His handsome hair is tied in a graceful top knot. Splendid earrings adorn his ears, and his neck is splendidly decorated with garlands of flowers and strings of jewels. Splendid armlets and bracelets ornament Dauji's graceful and very strong arms, and his feet are decorated with splendid jeweled anklets. Just like we see in the deities, they had nice silver anklets today. Shudakirti Prabhu. He gave a little blessings from Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram's beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from musk, and his broad chest is ornamented with a garland of gunja. Balaram's voice is very grave, and his arms are very long, touching his thighs. Is everyone envisioning the beauty of Balaram here? The splendor of Lord Balaram's transcendental form eclipses many millions of glistening rising moons. And the slightest scent of his boundless strength is sufficient to destroy many armies of demons. Although he knows the supernatural power of his younger brother Krishna, still, out of love for him, he never leaves Krishna alone in the forest, even for a moment. Balaram is Sri Krishna's dearest friend, and is a great reservoir of nectar, mellows of many kinds of transcendental pastimes. So here it is, Krishna expands himself as Balaram. He is Balaram, but he's having a relationship with Balaram. Just like Narada Muni was bewildered, how is it that Krishna married 16,000 wives? I'm going to go see what's going on here. So in one house, Krishna's performing some activities with the family. Another house, he's doing something different. Narada Muni was amazed. How is it the same person is performing all these activities, and here he is interchanging with himself in a different mood? It's like sometimes we get in different moods. You know, someday you get bewildered, or you're happy, you're angry, whatever. You know, you have different personalities. So Krishna manifests Balaram, and he is Balaram. And Balaram performs all the activities of preparing everything for Krishna. It's hard to understand, but it's very mystical. Shishi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Radha Shyama Sundalita Vishakha Devi ki. So this is Balaram slays Denukasura. Denukasura was a powerful demon who had assumed the form of an ass. With his demon friends, he was occupying Talavan, one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Out of fear of these demons, no one could approach Talavan and enjoy the numerous flowers and fruits in the forest. Balaram, induced by his cowherd friends, entered the forest, desiring to kill the demons. He began shaking the fruit trees, making a big noise. Danuka, furious at the intrusion, attacked Balaram with his rear legs. But Balaram easily picked him up by his legs whirled him around until he died. As the other demon friends of Dhanuka rushed to attack, Krishna and Balaram picked them up and threw them on trees, killing them. Soon, the forest was full of all demons, and it appeared that the bent trees were being directed by Balaram to pay obeisances to Krishna. So we hear Paritranaya Sadhunang Vinashayaja Dushkritam that Krishna appears for annihilating the demons and giving protection to devotees, but it's said that he spent most of his time killing the demons. In the spiritual world, there are no demons to fight with, so when he comes to this world to liberate and attract all of us, he spends a lot of time annihilating the rascals and miscreants. Because the material world means a place of people who want to forget God and enjoy, exploit God's resources. So Krishna comes, and very powerful. Although we're in Kali Yuga, we may not see the powerful demons, but in previous ages, very powerful demons, and we see the mystic powers, especially during Krishna's descent 5,000 years ago. Many of Kansa's friends, they had mystical power to take different forms and different conjure up different mystical illusions, but Krishna was killing all of them. Pralambasura killing. Once when Krishna and Balaram were playing with the cowherd boys, a demon named Pralamba entered their midst, disguised as a cowherd boy. Understanding the invincible potency of Krishna, he instead decided to abduct Balaram. At the end of the game, as the losing party, he was supposed to carry Balaram on his shoulders. Carrying the Lord on his shoulders, he ran swiftly. But Balaram, realizing the true identity of the demon, began to make himself heavier and heavier. Unable to bear the weight, the demon assumed his original form, which was like a huge, dark, effulgent cloud decorated with golden ornaments. Balaram then brought his fist down on the head of the demon, splitting it into two, causing him to give up his life. I'm sure Balaram knew that they detected that he was a demon, Pralamba, but they played along with the game. And then when he tried to take him away and kill him, Balaram exhibited his mystical powers. As the elder brother of Krishna, Balaram was the object of his love and respect. So here he is, Balaram's the older brother of Krishna, and so, but this is Krishna's object of his love and respect. Krishna's always showing us how to behave and give proper respect. He's the Adi Guru, original spiritual master. Once when walking in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna observed the trees bending down as if paying obeisances. He glorified the lotus feet of Balaram as being the object of devotion even for demigods. He said that the trees, which were impersonalists in previous times, witnessing the personal form of Balaram, were now praying for his devotion. At other times when Balaram would get tired by playing, he would lie down in the lap of one of the cowherd boys, and Krishna would personally massage his feet, fan him, and give him service. Such was the sweet reciprocation of love between Krishna and Balaram. You've seen that picture of Balaram lying and Krishna massaging his feet. What to speak of Balaram, even Sudama, when Sudama Brahma, his friend, came to Dwarka, Krishna and Rukmini worshipped, and Krishna was also taking care of Go Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanitayacha. Krishna's interested very much in loving the cows and taking care of the cows, loving the devotees and taking care of the devotees. What to speak of the reciprocation of love between Krishna and Balaram. Jamuna is chastised. Once Lord Balaram, who was at the time living in Dwarka, came back to stay in Vrindavan for 2 months. At this time, he enjoyed pastimes with his gopi friends, who were different from the gopis of Krishna's. Enjoying such pastimes on the bank of the Jamuna at Ramagat, the Lord summons Jamuna so he could sport in the waters. When Jamuna Devi did not respond, Lord Balaram took up his favorite weapon, his plow, and began to drag Jamuna in 100 streams. Understanding the position of Balaram, Jamuna Devi personally appeared and offered her obeisances to the Lord with many prayers in his glorification. Thus appeased, the Lord entered and bathed in the waters of the river. It seems that that pastime goes on when Lord Ram was angry that the ocean was not cooperating. Then immediately when she realized and came and offered prayers, again the Kauravas were chastised. Samba, the darling son of Jambavati, and Krishna kidnapped Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhan, from the assembly where she was supposed to choose her husband. The furious Kauravas, after a prolonged fight, finally arrested Samba by sending 6 of their greatest warriors. When the Yadavas heard of this, they prepared for battle. But Lord Balaram pacified them, preferring to find a peaceful solution. You see, Krishna and Balaram were always trying to make peace in harmony, but they knew, being Trikalagya, all-knowing, what the end result will be. However, when he requested the Kauravas to return Samba and Lakshmana, the Kauravas responded by insulting him and the Yadava dynasty. Understanding them to be ignorant in their false prestige, Balaram took his plow and began to drag Hastinapur into the Ganges. The terrified Kauravas now surrendered the lotus feet of Balaram, begging for his mercy. They immediately returned Samba and Lakshmana and had them married ceremoniously with many opulent gifts. Balaram marries Revati. In Satya Yuga, there was a king named Raivata whose daughter Revati was excellent in all respects. Unable to find a match suitable for her, the king took her to the court of Brahma for his advice. After waiting for some time, when the king met with Brahma, he was shocked to learn that in the short time he spent in Brahmaloka, millions of years had already passed on earth, and at the time Dwapara Yuga was concluding. However, Lord Brahma informed King Raivata that present at this time was Lord Balaram, who was more than qualified to be the husband of Revati. King Raivata returned and approached Balaram to accept Revati as his wife. This is interesting. However, Revati belonged to an earlier yuga when people were much larger physically. So Lord Balaram placed his plow on her head until she shrank to the appropriate size and accepted her as his wife. Interesting, Balaram. In general, Balaram was equally affectionate to both the Pandavas and Kauravas. He accepted both Duryodhan and Bhishma as his disciples in the art of mace war. As a teacher, he appreciated the superior technique of Duryodhan as opposed to the raw strength of Bhima. At the time of Mahabharata, he refused to take sides and instead went on extended pilgrimage to the holy places. In the battle between Bhima and Duryodhan, he became angry at Bhima for killing Duryodhan by trickery, but was appeased by Sri Krishna. Janma karma chame devyam evam yoviti tatpataha tyakva dehang punaram janma naiti mamiti soharjana. So if one can understand Krishna's appearance and activities, why Krishna comes, why he creates this world, and the various wonderful pastimes he exhibits, of him in Vrindavan and the love that he has with the inhabitants of Vrindavan and the reciprocation. It's a great science. It's actually meant for us to hear about Krishna, and all these stories are totally meant for us to remember Krishna so that we can actually make tangible progress in Krishna consciousness. This is killing of Roma Harshan. Towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, thousands of sages assembled on the bank of Naimisharanya to perform a 1,000-year yajna in an effort to reverse the onset of Kali Yuga. They appointed as their leader Roma Harshan, one of the main disciples of Vyasadeva, who was also present when Shukadeva Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. When Lord Balaram entered the assembly, understanding him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all present rose to offer him respect. However, Roma Harshan, proud at occupying the position of the leader, did not get up. Lord Balaram could understand that even though Roma Harshan was an expert Vedantist, he had not yet realized these teachings. Considering him unqualified to lead the ceremony, Balaram touched him with a blade of grass, causing him to die. He then instituted Sutta, the son of Roma Harshan, as the leader of the assembly and continued with his pilgrimage. That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. The mercy of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram exemplifies the service attitude to Krishna. So, if we want to learn, we have to learn from a teacher. So, Lord Balaram exemplifies the service attitude. His only mission is to please Krishna by rendering service to him, whether it is in the creation of the material worlds, maintaining the spiritual world, or as his personal paraphernalia. See, people, they create attitudes. They have, the reason why we're here is because we want to be the enjoyers. But actually, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunang yovididati kaman. He's providing for all of us, and all of us are sustained by Krishna. Just like he makes the ocean and puts nice salt in it for preservation, but then the sun evaporates it in the clouds, and then he pours the sweet water, clear water for our sustenance. With that water, grains grow so we can live. So Krishna's providing everything for everyone, maintaining the whole world. And this whole, and so if we change our attitude, instead of thinking that it's meant for me, my, ahang, siddhoham balavan sukhi, is that what verse? In the demonic mentality that Ishvaroham ahang bogi siddhoham balavan sukhi, that, you know, I'm the controller of my own destiny. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to create a situation. I'm going to make a stairway to heaven in this world. I don't need God. I'm going to make my own stairway to heaven. Lord Balaram is the eternal companion of Sri Krishna. He came as Lakshman with Rama and later as Nityananda Prabhu with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the original spiritual master, and anyone desiring to make spiritual progress must first get the mercy of Lord Balaram. So this is very important, because not only is Krishna speak like the, he's the father, and the Vedas, the knowledge, are the mother. But then he expands himself and he comes in as the guru to show us the way back to Krishna. And this is the guru's respected Sakshat Haritvenashtamastra Sashtir Uktasta Taiba Jateva Sabdi. That the guru is respected as much as God. Krishna is God, the guru is God. But Krishna is the worship God, and the Guru is the worshipper God. Because the Guru is worshipping God and only repeating what God is speaking, then he becomes a proper representative of God. Just like the kings originally were called Naradeva, they were actually respected as God because they were actually representing God, the Guru, the spiritual master. So when one has that attitude of service and proper understanding, then one can actually make progress. So in Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, he's giving us, right from the very beginning, you know, the Krishna book was translated very scientifically. Although Prabhupada obviously had faith in Krishna, he'll protect him, but he was always thinking of the society, how I can convey the proper understanding. So just like when we read Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. Like I said, Bhuvaneshwar, are you going to speak first? He goes, I don't know anything. I said, and I know less than what you know, so where am I at? So the idea is that in this world, people are in darkness and in ignorance. Although they may have the so-called leadership of scientists, philosophers, and big PhDs, and those who claim to know something. But the purpose of life is not described in anywhere other than just some, yes, we have to have our religion, blind religion. So unless you have a philosophical understanding, then it's very difficult to have that kind of faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he translated Krishna book, or gave us the Krishna book, with all of Krishna's pastimes, not only laden with stories but also examples of how to have the attitude, seeing how Krishna is performing so many wonderful activities, how Balaram is performing all these wonderful activities. Because people in this material world, they have no clue as to how to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And spiritual life, as the Guru is speaking, as Lord Balaram is speaking, is to awaken us so we can actually behave and perform our duties properly. And the Lord is so kind that in this age of Kali Yuga, Kali Kalir Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan, he's appeared so that simply by chanting the names of Krishna and Rama, Balaram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These names are invested with all the spiritual potencies. Just like Balaram, it's described that he's also the support of the temple. He's all the paraphernalia in which we're serving Krishna. So in one sense, everything is Krishna. Earth, water, fire, air, all the material elements, these are his separated energies. But the internal potency, the jiva, the spirit soul which is occupying the body, is also Krishna. It's a little Krishna, sample Krishna. And we may think that while God is doing so much and expanding so much, he must be losing his power. You know, if you have a battery pack and everyone is charging from the battery pack, the battery goes down. But Krishna has a unique potency that he never is depleted. He's always complete. Ishavasyam Idang Sarvam in the Isha Upanishad describes it. He is complete, and many, many complete units are emanating from the complete source, which is Krishna. And Balaram is the very first, and actually representing God in the form of the most powerful living entity, the one who creates. And by his energy, the Brahma Jyoti is sustaining all the universes. Within our, like we see, science, modern science says from the sun rays, all the planets are floating in space. Everything's very organized and timely, just like every day the sun is rising appropriately, and you know, all the different planets have their little orbits and seasonal changes. So much order, so much a depth of management is there in one little universe. What to speak of unlimited universes? So Krishna just parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. Just by his desire, by his power, he's creating. For us to do anything, it takes so much energy, just like the painting in the back of Srila Prabhupada. The artist had to mix so many colors and spend many, many hours, days, weeks, just making the little, what to speak of, painting flowers. And it's nothing compared to the real flower. Krishna simply desires, and there's varieties of colors, varieties of flowers, varieties of life. So many varieties. And not only he just thinks about it, but only just he only through his eyes impregnates all the living entities. And Lord Balaram is facilitating all that. That all the various, we were talking about evolution the other day, about all the various species of life are available according to one's desires, according to one's karma, according to one's destiny. We're put into different living entities, sometimes as aquatics, sometimes as trees and plants, sometimes as reptiles, mammals, human beings, demigods, higher, lower planets. We're moving, and we're thinking that this is my evolution. From being a dog, I can become a demigod. I've evolved. You're still the same spirit soul, but you move from a third class apartment to a first class apartment. It's just the apartments that are changing. So all the different eyes and hands, you know, the whole construction. Why is it you see so many faces, tens of thousands, millions of faces, and practically everyone has a very unique, I mean, it just eyes, nose, a mouth, and ears. Okay, a few cheekbones and a head. How many ways can you make this thing so that you can actually, but everyone has a very distinctive character about them. And this is how personal Krishna is in Lord Balaram, that not only is he fully satisfied, he doesn't need servants. Oh, we, you know, Krishna, he's created all of us so we can serve him. No, we're reading that in the spiritual world, there's kalpa vriksha trees. They can give you anything. And he has hundreds of millions of gopis and lakshmis serving him. And there's all the varieties that we see in this world existing in the spiritual world. But there's no inebrieties or the deficiencies of this world, because in this world everything is born, it grows, produces some byproducts, dwindles, dies. Isn't it? Man, he thinks my mission is to work hard. And they describe that hard work, like when a horse is working very hard, he gets that foam in the mouth. So once you make a decision that I'm going to be here in this world, what is the first attraction? Man is attracted to woman. Woman is attracted to man. Not only in human species, but in animal species, in every variety. How is that, you know? So then when that combination comes together, you think that I need a place. And in order to have a nice place, you have to work hard. And that hard work is considered that although you work hard, I have a nice place, I need friends so people can come and appreciate that I've achieved so much in this world. Look at my nice car. These are my family members. Very beautiful home with all kinds of ornate decorations. Then people can appreciate, oh yes, you are a very accomplished person. So everyone is thinking that through my own intellect or my own ability, I'm going to create some happiness in this world. But ultimately, everyone is frustrated. And also then comes bhaya, fear. Everyone is fearful, because even if you're in the heavenly planets, even on Brahmaloka, what to speak of other planets, that old age, disease and death is there. And because we're eternal, Satchidananda Vigraha, we're meant to live eternally and be with Krishna, be with Balaram, Every day Krishna's going out with all his friends, and so many relationships are there in the spiritual world, and all those relationships exist in this world in a perverted way. You know, that one is worshiping, honoring great people, one is friends with others, parents, lovers, all these things are there. But if you want to get free of this illusion of thinking that there's some happiness in this world, and striving and working hard ultimately for nothing, sometimes you may think, I want to build a big skyscraper, I want to build Trump Towers, you know. But then by the time you finish it, you die, then what was the use of all your effort, all your attempts for this big, you know, all the investment, all the heartaches, and trying to become very, you know, prestigious person, that they'll put my name on the building, I'll be a very great person. But it's all useless, because we're going to die. So Lord Balaram, as the guru, is teaching us that tad vigyanartham sagurum eva vigachet. One who's intelligent, he approaches the guru to get free of the cycle of birth and death, to get free of suffering, free of all illusion in this world. There is no happiness in this world. It's all temporary. And it's a rare opportunity to be able to hear about Krishna Balaram with the attitude that I want to serve, like Balaram is serving Krishna in a very intimate way, in a very loving way, very submissive way. That I want to be submissive and I want to hear about Krishna. Even in Bhagavad Gita, it says, if you don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if you don't accept in the proper, what's the use of reading the Gita? The Gita is Krishna's words. God is speaking. Now if you don't believe, that's your own issues. But the idea is that one should be approached the Supreme Lord and the Guru in the mood of tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnesna sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnanastatva darshana. We want to learn the truth. We all want to have understanding of the purpose and goal of life. But we have to submissively, humbly, in the service attitude, approach the Guru. And this is being demonstrated by Krishna himself, that he takes a guru. And why did Lord Chaitanya, who's very beautiful and very much respected as in his youth, he had a loving mother, a very loving wife, and he was a pundit, and he had so much in a social situation, he gave all these things up. This is real vairagya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quoted that verse, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, that Krishna, he showed that through Jnana Vairagya, that even though one may be very beautiful, very strong, very handsome, may have a wonderful family that loves him, beautiful, beautiful children, may have a big bank account, great car, the newest cell phone, you know, could have all the nice food arrangements and enjoyable vacations. But all that is just a temporary flicker and it's all finished, because we can go to the heavenly planets and have all these so-called temporary enjoyments. But we're told in Bhagavad Gita that this is all useless, because again you're entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. And then when will you get another opportunity to serve the spiritual master and get out of the prison, material life? So Lord Balaram, he is giving us that strength. But it's like this, the sun is shining, but if you cover yourself up in a closet somewhere or stay in the darkness and don't appreciate the value of the sunshine, then you're a loser. So Krishna and Balaram have come to make the unfortunate fortunate. And this is why Prabhupada encouraged us, preach, distribute books, spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, because there are all these suffering living entities in this material world, and they will continue suffering unless we, as little representatives of our spiritual master, make that endeavor to give them Krishna consciousness. We ourselves are trying to do our part to purify our own heart by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because by continually chanting, hearing, chanting, hearing, reading Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, reading Krishna book, and engaging in service, that I want to serve the deity nice, that address the deity beautifully because Krishna is so beautiful, you attract everyone. I want to make such a nice preparation for Krishna, and Krishna is so kind. He eats with his eyes, and he lets the devotees also have the nice blessings and mercy. And then everyone looking for society, friendship, and love. So the real society is a Krishna conscious society. That place where they glorify Krishna, worship Krishna, sing and dance about Krishna. It's not that, oh, if I can go to the nightclub and smell the horrible, you know, rotten brewery smell, and people are so intoxicated and basically looking for a fight. This is complete misleading of the leader, so-called leaders of society, that they don't educate the public. The purpose and goal of life is to awaken our Krishna consciousness, awaken our love for God. And it's not a sentiment or simply some blind faith or religion. One has to get free from the bodily concept that I am American, I am Indian, I am African, you know, I'm Chinese, Russian, or this is my country, that is your country, this is my family against your family. And all these bodily concepts, the whole Bhagavad Gita starts with that. Arjuna was totally on the idea that I need to take care of my family, and these are my relatives, and I can't, you know. So it's difficult. And we reject that in our minds if we hear from scripture, from God, that we need to be detached. Why was Queen Kunti praying? Because she was attached to her father's family and her husband's family. Please free me from this family attachment. Because our real family is Krishna. And we do, but not that we disregard or disrespect other, then we love other people, other devotees, or other living entities even more. But not in the wrong concept of the bodily concept. On the spiritual platform, that this spirit soul is also part of Krishna. We're all brothers and sisters here. So there's no real reason for the bodily concept. But it's very difficult to break. Even after hearing about it and repeatedly, just like practically in all the 80 volumes of books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, that Dehino Sminya Tadehe, Komarang Yovananjara, Tatadehantara Prapti, Dhiras Tatra Namuyati. The living entity is changing from boyhood to youth to old age. At the time of death, he leaves that body, takes another body. Self-realized soul is not bewildered by this change. So what does that mean? That I've had this body and these misidentifications for this lifetime of 20, 50, 100 years. Then next time I have another misidentification, another Chitraketu's son died. Narada Muni brought the little boy back. He says, why you left your father and mother? They're suffering. Which mother and father are you referring to here? Catch me up on this. Because the living entity has had billions of mothers and fathers, billions of children, billions of identities, so-called identities. But our real identity is Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We turn eternal servants of Krishna. And this is exactly why Krishna and Balaram appear, to awaken us to the importance of giving up the dream of material existence, the shadow. In the shadow, when you see the figure, the sun is shining. There's no real substance to a shadow, but it gives you an indication of what it's reflecting. So although we have our bodies, this world, and everything like that, Krishna is a person, the Supreme Person. Lord Balaram is also Krishna, but he has different moods and different activities. So we all have a part in all that. We need to take very seriously time, because the time element is taking the life of everyone. Krishna, he appears in the form of death, in the form of time. Time I am, taking the life of everyone. So everyone will lose this particular vehicle in due course of time, some quicker than others. So while we have this wonderful machine, isn't it? This yantra, this machine. You have the eyes to see Krishna, the ears to hear the holy name, the tongue to chant the holy name and taste Krishna prasadam, the legs to walk to the temple, chant and dance, the hands to play musical instruments and serve the Lord. So we should appreciate Srila Prabhupada's ultimate gift of giving us Krishna Balaram Mandir, that we can always remember Krishna Balaram, serve Krishna Balaram in the sacred land of Sri Vrindavan Dham. I mean, who can imagine being so fortunate? Wherever you're reading, it's a saying, chant the holy name in the association of devotees, worship Tulsi Devi, and live in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So you're all living the dream. You've all achieved perfection. That just by being here, by being in Vrindavan, hearing about Balaram, seeing Balaram, later tasting the nectar prasad of Lord Balaram, this is the real perfection. Although, due to our coverings and misunderstandings, we may not fully appreciate our good fortune. But to whatever extent we can appreciate the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us by his sacrifice, we should also make a sacrifice following in the footsteps of our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of all the great acharyas, the Adi Guru, Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram ki jai. So now you'll hear something of greater value. Mother Devi Shakti will come here. And she was so much here in the very beginning days of Krishna Balaram Mandir, when Prabhupada, through his immense love and struggle, helped establish this wonderful Krishna Balaram Mandir.
Oh, it addresses the four things. Number one, lust, then krodha, anger, lobha, greed, and moha, delusion. Very important. Please remove these things from me. This is prayer to the Balaram. So, Kamasada Shandu, Devukali, because Niruka Sura is standing for lust, according to Bhakti Chakra. So, my dear, if you get out of Niruka Sura, please kill that lust in me. For that someone is living in Mahatahara, who kill out the Veda demon, the monkey, please kill my Kalpa. You have lust, you have anger, now you have to greed. Lobha, Lobhatsara Rakshadu, Lobhatsara Rakshadu, Balaramir, Ukira of Balaram, please relieve me of my lust. Greed, excuse me. And then Lobhatsara Makina Magadari, Ukira of Rasanda, please kill me of my illusion. Now one thing is interesting to notice, that he's actually, Darshan was still a Krishna. But we should understand the inside story is, when Krishna believes in God, when there's a point of killing, then Vasudeva comes, Vasudeva Krishna. That's actually Balaram. So, very important prayer. Do you mind if we just recite it one time, together? Please repeat, Namatsala Rakshadu Vinokari. Come on. Okay. Radha Sanamandri Nathahari, Yobatsala Rakshadu Bhagavadari, Mahasamandri Nathahari. We should learn this prayer. Very important prayer, and we go in front of the Varuna that we have something to say of substance. Just like we go to Nityananda, Nityananda, we can do anybody who says this prayer.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutle Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine. There was a very precarious situation in Mathura. Kamsa, who was the greatest Rakshasa, had already killed six sons of Devaki. Now, Vasudeva had other wives aside from Devaki. They were all Devaki's sisters. One of those wives was Rohini, and she was also pregnant. So Vasudeva was very worried for Rohini's baby, thinking that Kamsa might kill that baby as well, because he was also a son of Vasudeva. So secretly one night in the month of Jest, we know Jest is the hottest month here, he sent Rohini alone on a horse in the middle of the night to his cousin brother, Nanda. How were they related? There was a king, Devamita, in Mathura. He had two sons by two different wives. One was a Vaishya, one was a Kshatriya. The Vaishya son was Parjanya Maharaj. So he was mixed, because this mixture between Kshatriya and Vaishya. So he was called Abira. He was an Abira, a cowherder. So he made his kingdom in Mahavan, across the river from Mathura, so that he could become king of all the cowherds and possess thousands of cows there. You'll see even now, the Jamuna River, all the towns are congested on just the western side. And the eastern side is totally empty. Nobody tries to build their house on the eastern side. That's all dedicated to the cowherds so they can graze their cows. There's so much land there. So Parjanya Maharaj made his kingdom there. And Parjanya had five sons there. The middle son was Nanda, who was made the king by his eldest brother, Upananda. He said, I'm Upananda. I follow Nanda also. So Vasudev, having come from the Kshatriya wife of Devamita, for Surasen, who was the son, Surasen Vasudev, they were connected like that. He sent Rohini that night, hot month, the horse was able to cross the Jamuna, to the home of Nanda Maharaj. Rohini, then after 7 months, it was then by that time Magh, Devaki, she was also pregnant by then with Balaram. So two wives, they both had 7 month embryos in their wombs. So what did Yogamaya do? She arranged for the 7 month old embryo in Rohini to be miscarried. And then she arranged for the transmission of the embryo in Devaki's womb to be planted into the embryo of Rohini, the co-wife, her sister. But normally a child only takes 9 to 10 months. This baby waited 14 months. That means another 7 months. Why was he waiting? Because same time, Devaki, she was becoming pregnant with Krishna, and Nandarani, in this month of Magh, she was serving her husband, Nanda Maharaj, and at that time, a beautiful child entered into her heart. And that child was two-armed, Shamsundar. So from Nanda Maharaj to Nandarani, this child was implanted. So same time, Yashodamayi, Devaki, they were both pregnant. Devaki was pregnant with the forearm form, Vasudev. And Nandarani, she was pregnant with the two-arm form, Shamsundar. So finally, at the end, this Purnima, just today, 14 months have passed, Balaram makes his appearance. Such a beautiful child, just like the moon shining. His eyes were like lightning. His hair was like a cloud. He was such a perfectly beautiful child. But everyone was sad. They were sad because dullness, jar. He didn't move. He didn't show any emotion, no happiness, no sadness. Just beautiful child. But dullness was there. Nothing, no matter what they did, they couldn't get any expression from him. So Vasudeva, understanding through his messengers that the child had been born. He instructed Nanda Maharaj they should have a secret birth and name-giving ceremony. That's the Jatakarma and the Namakaran. Always in the second, twice-born families, they always have these sanskars at the birth of the child. So there were Brahmins here in Mahavan, because different Brahmins, they have different persons who they do their services for. So these particular Brahmins with the name Sharma, they were the Brahmins who did the sacrifices and the rituals for the Vaishyas. They were also there in Mahavan. So they performed the name-giving ceremony. And just by looking at the chart of Balaram, they could understand that his name is Ram because he gives pleasure to everyone. And he has a younger brother. They didn't give the name of the younger brother. And he has long arms, and he's going to kill the demon Denuka. He's going to have many, many cows, be the protector of cows. He's going to kill the demon Pralamba. And although Ram had an associate named Dvivida, who was his servant, he's also going to kill Dvivida. So all these things were predicted by these Brahmins at the time of Balaram's appearance during his Namakaran. So we have today Purnima, and this is the end of the first month of Chaturmasya. Then begins the second month, which is Bhadra. Balaram was born under the star of Shravan, very auspicious time. And then 8 days later, we have the appearance of both Vasudev in Mathura and Krishna here in Gokul. So when Devaki saw her four-armed little baby with his tiny chakra, his tiny mace, everything tiny, tiny little baby, she became more afraid that if Kamsa sees you like this, certainly he'll kill you. So you please take the two-armed form. So at that time, in Yashoda's womb, were two children. That was Yogamaya, and Krishna was also there. So Yogamaya at that time arranged a second transferal, that this two-armed form Krishna would be transferred, and that four-armed form of Vasudev would merge into that two-armed form. So then Krishna was taken there before he took his birth and brought there to Devaki in the prison. And then the four-armed form merged into that two-armed form. So now Vasudev, by the direction of the Lord within his heart, he took that two-armed form baby and immediately brought that baby, crossed the Jamuna River, brought that baby to the home of Nanda Maharaj, where Yashoda, at the birth time of Yogamaya, she fainted. Yogamaya arranged for her to faint right after the delivery. And he put that two-armed form of Krishna there by the side of Yashoda, and he took Yogamaya back to the prison, locked all the doors, and although Devaki was so frightened of her brother, the baby started to cry. Immediately the guards ran to Kamsa. Kamsa just heard one syllable, and he ran with his hair wild to kill that baby. He came into the prison. Devaki was wailing, crying, "It's a girl. You're not destined to be killed by a girl. Please don't kill her. Let me have one child." He picked up that child, lifted that child over his head to dash her on the stone. As she was in the air to dash her, she put her feet on his head, flew into the sky, and assumed an eight-armed form sitting on a lion, holding a trident and eight other weapons in her hands. She said, "Kamsa, you fool! You think you can kill me? Why are you so cruel to your poor sister? The person, the child who will kill you, has been born in another place. Do not be so cruel to your sister, and do not kill any more children." So Kamsa, at that time, he became so despondent. He fell down at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki and begged forgiveness. That I'm such a demon. I killed all of your children uselessly. The child that killed me is born somewhere else. The voice said that. So now you please forgive me and go home. Relax. I won't kill any more children. But that was one night. One night, next day, he called his ministers all together, told them what happened. The ministers wouldn't stand because they love to kill children. They eat children. They said, no, you have to kill all of the children born in the last 10 days. And we'll help you. So then he sent those ministers all over the whole, everywhere, to kill all the children born in the last 10 days. It so happened he sent the daughter of Bali, that was Putana. She was so ugly. She had such a horrible form. He sent her to Gokul. She was wandering around, eating different children. She would poison them and then eat them. She came to the home. Now, in between that time, before Putana was sent, Vasudev, he knew what he had done. He didn't tell anyone else, only Devaki knew. So all the relatives believed that Bhadrakali was the daughter of Devaki and Vasudev. They said, oh, they had a daughter, she flew in the sky. So Vasudev sent a messenger, one of his trusted old messengers, to find out how the baby was in Gokul. The messenger came one night. He had to swim across the Jamuna because he didn't want Kamsa's spies to know anything. He came in wet clothes, all torn, ripped, worn old clothes. And Nanda Maharaj asked him, how's everything? He said, how is it? Look at me. This is how everything is. Everyone is suffering from this Rakshasa. And Vasudev is very concerned that your child be protected. Nobody knew. He didn't reveal that this was actually Vasudev's child. So he requests you, come to Mathura. Pay the taxes. Because a snake with an open mouth is more dangerous than a snake with a closed mouth. So if you satisfy Kamsa by giving the taxes, he'll close his mouth. So Nanda Maharaj, he was in the middle of all the birth festivities. They were celebrating. Everyone was in such misery in Mathura. Across the river, everyone was having a big festival for days and days. 10 days they had a festival because of the birth of Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj said, all right, after the festivities are over, in 5 days, I'll come with the taxes. So within 5 days, he arranged who was going to protect the women and the children, who was going to protect the cows. He lined up his bullock carts. He took some of his men with him. He crossed and went to Mathura. He paid the taxes. And of course, he came to see Vasudev. Although Nanda Maharaj was older than Vasudev, they embraced lovingly like two brothers. And Vasudev warned him. He said, you go back immediately. There might be trouble in Gokul. Because he knew what Kamsa had planned to kill all the children. So immediately Nanda Maharaj returned. Within that time, it all happened the same day. He was coming back. Putana came to the house. Now, as mentioned, these demons at that time were very powerful. They could change their form. So she changed her form into a beautiful, just like the goddess of fortune, she was so beautiful. And although all the cowherd men were there protecting Nanda Maharaj's house, the women were inside. Rohini was there with Balaram, right next to Mother Yasoda. Krishna was in the inner room sleeping. She walked in. She said, I have a special capacity. My milk is like nectar. And I heard that you had this beautiful child. I want to give this child my milk so he'll have a long life. So everyone was so astounded and enchanted by her beauty, they let her do whatever she wanted. This is the problem with beauty. Just like with Mohini Murti, you have to be very careful. So she went right into where Krishna was sleeping. She saw that baby. and he was like coal ember. She knew how powerful he was, but covered in the form of a little baby. And she picked up that baby and fondled him just like a mother would do. And then Krishna, when he saw that form, he knew who she was. Krishna knows everything. He closed his eyes. Why he closed his eyes, the acharyas give so many reasons. He was going to kill a woman. There were so many reasons. He closed his eyes, and then she put her breast into his mouth, and he started to suck. And he sucked the life right out of her. And when she felt she was dying, she screamed at the top of her lungs. And she said, "Leave me, leave me." And because of the pain of him sucking out her life, she immediately expanded into her original form and flew up in the sky, 12 miles long, 3 miles wide, and 1 mile high. And as she flew out of the village, and she landed just where the trees were, because it was all forest where the cows were grazing. Not a single living entity was harmed. Just the trees broke. And there she was, lying all mangled, her joints in all different directions, and Krishna was playing on her chest. Now when Yashoda and Rohini heard that scream and saw her fly into the sky with Krishna on her, they became so upset that they both fainted. They didn't know what to do, so they fainted unconscious. So the other ladies, they ran to look what happened to this huge form, and they saw her at a distance, and they climbed up on her arms, they climbed up on her chest, they picked up baby Krishna, and they ran back to Yashoda and Rohini, who were still unconscious in the house. And they didn't know, they tried to wake them up, they couldn't. Finally, they put Krishna and Yashoda's on her chest. Then she came back to consciousness. As soon as she came back to consciousness, what did she say? She said, "Go see where Balaram is." She was so worried for Balaram. Rohini was right there with her. So Rohini ran into the other room. Immediately she brought Balaram. So the two children were together. They were both drinking milk. Then Nanda Maharaj, he comes back. He comes back and he sees this horrible form of Putana. He didn't go to the house first. He saw Putana lying there in the forest. And he had the lower class, the blacksmiths, the leather, if the animals die, they take the leather to make shoes and different instruments. He had those people cut up Putana, pile her in a big pile, and set her on fire. Because she had been touched by Krishna, a beautiful fragrance that went on for days came out of her body when she was burnt. Then he came back to the house, and he saw the two mothers and the two babies there, and he had already heard what happened. And when he saw the mothers and the babies together, he said, "From this day, these two brothers, they have to stay together. They should never be separated." So Krishna was only a few days old by then. They were together. Then, as they grew, nearly 3 months, at 3 months old, a child is then able to turn over a little bit. So that's called Parshva. Thinking by themselves they can turn over. So that's the time of the next sanskara. And Mother Yashoda, Rohini, they were making a big arrangement amongst the women. They put Krishna in a beautiful cradle underneath a big cart so that he would be protected while he was sleeping, while all the feeding and the welcoming and the talking was going on amongst the adults. He was safe there. And he had some little 5-year-old boys around the cart to watch him, that nothing would happen. But while Yashoda and Rohini were busy talking to all the guests and inviting them and feeding them, he woke up and he was angry. He started to cry. And when he started to cry, naturally he started to kick his feet. So one toe touched that cart. And from the touch of his one toe, the whole cart exploded. Now within that cart, because Kamsa, he had heard that this little baby Krishna killed the powerful Putana. So he sent that second demon. He's called Shakatasura because although he was a powerful demon, when he reached Gokul to kill Krishna, he reflected that Putana, she came here, she assumed a new form. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to remain invisible. And I'll wait for the right time during this festival to kill the little baby. So in an invisible form, he took a shelter within that cart. Therefore, Krishna, he's called Shakatasura Banjan. Because with his toe, when he had that cart fly in the sky and everything go everywhere, Shakatasura was killed. Now, no one could see him. No one knew. But Kamsa knew that that asura was killed. So then, 3 months. 3 months is almost 100 days. But at the 100-day point, Vasudev decided to send his Kulacharya, the acharya of the family of the Yadus, to do a secret name-giving ceremony for his two sons. Now still, Nanda Maharaj had no idea that Krishna was the son of Vasudev. According to him, he was his son. So Gargamuni, he came from Mathura. Every day, both in the Prakrit and the Aprakrit Lila, the same pastimes go on every morning. The milking of the cows, and then the cowherd men take the cows out into the forest. And in this situation, because Mahavan was already a developed village, they would keep the calves within the village. They wouldn't send the calves out for calf herding, which would happen later when they came here to Vrindavan. They would stay there within these sheds. So Nanda Maharaj, since childhood, he had worshipped a Lakshmi Narayan Shalagram Shila. So he was in the house, he was worshipping all alone, with just one servant, and he saw Gargamuni coming. And Gargamuni was very famous, he recognized him, he offered him so many respects, and he immediately prayed to him that it's our good fortune you have come. You please give the Namakaran to my two sons. So Gargamuni said, well, I'm not the proper person to do that because I was sent by Vasudev for his son, Balaram, your name wasn't given yet, to do the Namakaran. And Nanda Maharaj convinced him by different ways that you do for both of them. And then he whispered to his servant, and his servant ran into the house and immediately brought Yashoda and Rohini with the two children. They were 100 days old, just a little over 3 months old, very small, clinging on to their mothers. When Gargamuni saw these two children, he just went into all the different symptoms of ecstasy, foremost being stunned. The beauty of those two children clinging to their mothers, how they were so shy, hiding within the mother's saris, coming towards him. He offered his respects because he could understand who they were. He was a great astrologer. He was an acharya. He knew they were the supreme personalities of Godhead. And he was so honored to be able to do their namakaran. So they went secretly into the cow shed. They performed the ceremony. First he did Balaram's. He said his name will be Ram because he gives pleasure to all of his family. His name will be Bala because he'll be so powerful. And because he joins the two families equally of the Yadus and Nanda Maharaj's family, his name will also be Sankarshan. They attract each other, the two families. They're brought together by this son. Then he went to give the names of Krishna. He said, so many will discuss that during Janmashtami, Krishna's names. It was a very long description. So after that, the two boys went back with their mothers. And from that time onwards, Gargamuni became famous. Normally, the guru... Thank you. Normally, the person, the Brahmin who's giving the names, he makes the children famous by giving names. But Garga Muni, because he gave the names to the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, he then became famous. So he went back to Mathura still stunned, still with tears in his eyes, having seen those beautiful forms of the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. So the two lords, Krishna and Balaram, they were growing up together now in Nanda Maharaj's house. And 1 year passed. Krishna then had his first birthday. And during that first birthday time, Nanda Maharaj, he always had the two children together, and Yashoda was always busy with her son, Rohini was busy with her son. And one day she was feeding her son, and by the arrangement of Yogamaya, he became very, very heavy, like the universe, and she had to put him down. Now Kamsa, at that time, two demons were killed, Putana, Shakatasura. He decided amongst his ministers he was going to send another very powerful demon, Trinavarta. So Trinavarta, he saw the mistakes of the two previous demons. One had taken a form, the other had taken no form. He said, I'm going to take the form of wind and I'll enter that way. So as Yashoda put Krishna down, he entered as a whirlwind. And rocks started falling, total darkness. Mother Yashoda couldn't even see her son sitting there on the floor. She started to wail like a cow who lost her calf because she couldn't see her child there. Trinavarta had picked him up, taken him up into the sky, and he was planning to drop him down and eat him. Kill him and eat him. Now Krishna, he was already 1 year old. He was having fun, a joy ride on the neck of Trinavarta. He grabbed onto his neck with his legs. He also embraced him. His whole body was holding onto Trinavarta. And as Trinavarta flew higher and higher in the sky, it became, you know, the higher you go, the stronger, the heavier you fall. So as he went higher and higher, Krishna became heavier and heavier, and Trinavarta couldn't get him off his neck. He was like a garland. He just couldn't get him off. So finally, his eyes popped out of his head. He fell down onto the stone, and he died. All arms, legs, all in different directions. Again, Mother Yashoda, Rohini, who was in the house, they fainted. Again, the other women, they took little Krishna off of the neck of Trinavarta and brought him to Yashoda. She then came back to life. So now, Nanda Maharaj, they all heard the whirlwind, the darkness, the falling. They came running from the forests. When Nanda Maharaj came there and saw what had happened, he made a very strong rule. He said, from today onward, total lockdown. These two children cannot go out of the house. Too many demons. We don't know what's going to happen next. This place is becoming too dangerous. So they had a beautiful home. They had been living there for some years now. They had a huge courtyard. And these two little children, Krishna and Balaram, they stayed in the house. The children who were old enough to walk, they would come and play with them. They would bring toys. The women, the nurses, the friends, they would come and play with the children. They would bring sweets. They would tell Krishna, if you dance, I'll give you a sweet. And Krishna, he would try to dance, then he would get shy and run to his mother. And Balaram would watch him. He would become jealous. He was getting the sweet. He would grab his mother and start to suck her milk. So the two of them, just together with all the friends and all the wives of the other cowherds, they were enjoying together in the house. So they grew up and they already had their names. They were learning different words by that time. They were learning the different parts of their body, how to say those words. They were learning each other's names. Balaram would call Krishna, Krishna. Krishna would call Balaram Dao, Daoji, because he was the older brother. And sometimes they would try to talk together. Krishna would say, let's go play. And Balaram would say, no, mother will get angry. So they, no, we can do it. So they were learning how to talk together. They were learning how to walk. The mothers would hold their hands and then let go of them. They would run to their mothers. Then they'd fall. They'd cry. She'd pick them up. So all this was going on within the house. Finally, one day, Mother Yasoda picked up Krishna. She was feeding him milk. And he was so beautiful. He had almost just finished drinking milk. And when a child drinks milk, sometimes they'll open up their mouth. And the mother looks at the teeth, how many teeth have come. They see the milk. They see the beauty of their child. They become completely absorbed in their beautiful child. So Mother Yasoda, Krishna had just finished drinking. He had opened up his mouth and he was about to fall asleep. And she looked in his mouth and she saw the whole universe. She saw all of Mathura. She saw Gokul. She saw her house. She saw her. She saw Krishna sitting and lying on her lap. And she was completely bewildered by this dream. What am I seeing? What is this? So then Nanda Maharaj came in the house and he sees her stunned. He said, what happened? She said, I just saw the whole universe in your child's mouth. So then Nanda Maharaj said, well, if that's the case, we can't keep them locked up anymore. Because he remembered what Garga Muni has said about this child, that he was non-different from Narayan. Narayana Sama, Hari Sama. So he said, all right, there's no sense keeping them locked up anymore. Let them play. So from that time onwards, Krishna and Balaram were allowed out of the house to play with their friends. And they did, this is when they started their mischief. They would go to the other houses. They would steal the butter. They would let loose the calves. If they couldn't get what they wanted, they would urinate on the floor. And all the mothers would come to Yashoda. Yashoda, she was a queen. She was Nandarani. She would be sitting on a golden throne. The women would come and sit on either side of her. You should hear what your son did today. And Krishna's sitting there, innocent as anything. Balaram is with him. All her friends are with him. So many complaints. And Mother Yashoda, you're a liar. You foul-mouthed women, how you can say this about my children? She didn't believe anything. Then one day, Krishna, we'll stick with the Balaram stories. Okay, we'll skip the, we all know the Damodar Leela, what happened. But that day, it so happened that Upananda had invited Rohini and Balaram that morning to their house. So Rohini and Balaram weren't there that morning. So when Krishna was sleeping, Mother Yasoda, she went to do her household chores. She was churning the yogurt. Krishna woke up. We know the whole Damodar Leela. As Mother Yasoda caught Krishna, was chasing him because Rohini wasn't there. He would listen to Rohini. He's not. You don't listen to your own mother. You have complete control of your own mother. He would listen to Rohini, but Rohini wasn't there. So suddenly, coming out of the house, was child Krishna running for his life, crying, looking behind him, and Mother Yasoda chasing him with the stick. And all the neighbors would look, what happened? This never happened before. How could Mother Yasoda be chasing him with the stick? And he's crying and yelling, Rohini, Rohini, where are you? Why have you left me? Look what my mother is doing to me. Finally, she catches him. She ties him up, all the strings and all that. And at that time, Rohini and Balaram come back. And they're all laughing. Krishna's crying while he's there with Mother Yasoda. Then he looks at his friends and he's laughing. Then he starts crying again. So Mother Yasoda, she says, you're just like a monkey. You steal, you give the food to the other monkeys. I don't know what to do with you. So Krishna says, yeah, I'm just like a monkey. I'm going to leave your house and go live in the forest with the monkeys. So that's why Mother Yasoda had to tie him up. She was afraid he would go live in the forest. And it was already so hard to control him. So that's why she tied him up and went into the house to do her chores. So Krishna, he could have easily untied it. Instead, he drags the mortar in between the trees. Balaram's there. They're all watching with his friends. Nalukuvera and Manigriva come out. And this is, I have to remember the next pastime after this. Yes. Now, after this pastime of the trees falling down, the next day, because Rohini had gone to the Upananda's house, then they came back. So the next day, Upananda says, what's happening at Nanda Maharaj's house? And Upananda's wife said, oh, the two demigods came out of the trees, and Krishna pulled the trees down, and she was telling him all the things that happened in the house. Upananda said, I have to go to the assembly. It's not safe for us to live here anymore. So that day, Nanda Maharaj was having an assembly with the other cowherd men, and the cowherd men were discussing. We've been living here for a long time in Mahavan. The trees are now less and less because you have to cut down trees for wood and everything. It's time that we move on, because they were cowherds, they were nomads. So Upananda then came. And to push things faster, he said, not that we should move sometime in the future, we should immediately move. Not for the sake of only the cows, but for the sake of Krishna and Balaram. Look at all these demons that have come to try to kill Krishna. We have to today pile up our carts, make tents on the carts, put everything in the carts, send all of the cows forward, cross the Jamuna, and enter that beautiful, beautiful here, Vrindavan, the big forest of Vrindavan. So Upananda, he gives his opinion. Everyone agrees with him. They have the calves come. They drink all the milk they want from the cows because it's going to be a long walk. They set up the carts. They put all the old people, the women, the children into the carts, all their household utensils. They're all sitting in the carts. Yashoda, Rohini, Krishna, Balaram, they're in one cart. And they start to move. Now, before this, Krishna and Balaram had never been out of Mahavan, never been out of Gokul. Sometimes with their friends, they would go to the bank of the Jamuna. Rohini would try to bring them back. Yashoda would have to trick them some way. Today's your birthday, we have to feed the Brahmins, and they would come back. But this is the first time they ever traveled anywhere. They had never seen anything other than their home and Gokul. So they're asking, Krishna and Balaram are asking, what's this tree with the beard? What's this tree with the tail? What's this animal with the trees on his head? What's this animal that looks like a horse and a cow? What's this colorful bird, the peacock? What's this bird that talks like a human, the parrot? They had never seen these things before. So as they're moving, we know where Mahavan is. They come along the side of the Jamuna on their side. They come to Kaliyagat. And there, they have the cows cross. That was no problem. The whole Jamuna became full of cows. But then to move the carts, they had to take reeds and rods and bamboo and make a bridge. So just at that place, there used to be a bridge there, even 50 years ago, 40 years ago, there was a bridge there. So then they brought the carts over to this site. They finally reached Vrindavan. They didn't stop here at this area. They moved on and moved on deep into the forest, and they stopped at the place which is now called Chatikara. Now, Chatikara means semicircle, because they took all their carts, they made a semicircle. They put all the cows inside for protection, and the women and the children were protected in the carts and inside. And they cut down all the thorn bushes and put it around the outside. And then the men with their bows and arrows stayed on the outside to protect their new temporary settlement until they could move to Nandagram, which is Parjanya Maharaj's ancestral lands. So at this point, Krishna Balaram, they're 2 years old, 3 years old, not very old, but the cowherd men, they're going out every day with the cows. And they're also sons of a cowherd man, Nanda Maharaj, so they want to do what their father does. They want to go out with Nanda Maharaj every day. So the cowherd men decide, now we don't have our Mahavan, a village. Let these two boys and their friends herd the calves. So there in Shatikara, many pastimes took place where Krishna and Balaram herded the calves. Kamsa, through his spies, could understand that Krishna had now come to Shatikara. So he called his ministers. The first demon that he sent, because Krishna was herding the calves, he sent Vatsa, Vatsasura, who could take the form of a calf. And he told Vatsasura to mingle amongst the calves. Soon as you get the opportunity, you kill this child, Krishna. So the Vatsasura story is there. Balaram was there. They did everything together. Krishna communicated to Balaram, you see that calf? That's a demon. All right, kill him. So Krishna swung him around. This is where Balaram got the idea how to kill Dainikasura, how Krishna killed Vatsa. Then, next demon. Next demon that Kamsa sent was Baka. All in that area, they would herd the calves. So some distance, the village of Upananda, Kaida, there's a beautiful lake there. It's still there. So Baka, he took the form of a crane, and he decided he would look like a mountain. The boys came there with the calves one day, and they saw this crane-like form, and they went towards it, and the crane started to chase after the boys, try to eat the boys, and the boys started to yell, Kare, Kare, trying to eat me. So that town now is called Kaida, because the boys were being chased by Baka. So then Baka tried to eat Krishna, but he became hot in his throat. He had to spit him out. We know that Leela. Balaram, when he saw Baka eating Krishna, he fainted. All the cowherd boys fainted, so Krishna had to bring them back to life. Then after that demon was killed, next came Aga. Now on that day, Krishna was waiting for Balaram to come out to herd the calves. But Balaram sent a message. He said, I can't come because my mother's brother has come and I have to greet him. He's standing there looking at me. So you go ahead and I'll meet you. So during that time, the Agasura Leela took place in this place of Jet. And same time, Brahma came. Brahma stole all the calves and the cows. Krishna had to replace them all. For 1 year, so that is the time of when Krishna was from age 3 to 4, he had to take all those forms. And at the end of that year, Balaram finally understood what Krishna had done, and he got angry at Krishna. Why didn't you tell me before? So for a few days, he wouldn't go out with Krishna. He was too angry at him that he didn't share that secret, because they don't have any secrets, they're brothers. But Krishna kept that secret for 1 year from him. So he says, I'm not going out with you. At that time, Brahma came back, and the whole switch happened again. So this was the end of the Komara Leela of Krishna and Balaram. Then at that time, they became old enough, 5 and 6 years old. They wanted to herd the cows. So one day, they went to the front of where Nanda Maharaj was. They took all the cows out by themselves. So Nanda Maharaj said, well, they're old enough now. Let's perform a ceremony. So for Krishna and Balaram, on the proper day on Gopastami, 5 years old, they had the beginning of Krishna and Balaram's herding of the cows. So together, Krishna and Balaram, they grew up here in Vrindavan. Their Komara Leela was primarily in Gokul, and Poganda Leela was here in this Vrindavan area. So during this Poganda Leela also, one day, this was the month of Bhadra, they were about 6 years old. At the time of the month of Bhadra, that's when the tala fruits become ripe. And there's a delicious fragrance all over from the ripeness of the fruits. So the cowherd boys, Sridham and the others, Subal, they went to Balaram. And they said, Balaram, you're so powerful, you have such long arms. Why don't you go and pick those tal fruits for us? Now the tal fruits were being guarded by Denukasura, because that was Kamsa's own orchard of tal fruits. And Balaram says to the boys, he says, you know, Sridham, so many times you've defeated me and I've had to carry you on my shoulders. So why don't you go and pick the tal fruits? You're much stronger than me. And Sridham said, no, that you just let me defeat you. We know how strong you are. You go and get those tal fruits. So then Balaram, with his long arms, he went there. He shook the trees. All the tal fruits came falling down. All the boys were enjoying those tal fruits. Denukasura came. We heard that Leela just now from Panchagoda about Denukasura. Then there was Pralambasura. Now this Denukasura Leela, this is the last killing of the Asuras in the Pogunda age. Because when Krishna Balaram came back that day and all the boys had enjoyed the tal fruits, now all the Brijbasis could go there to Talavan and enjoy those fruits. But they were so attractive. It was on that day that the gopis first started to develop this affection and attraction to Krishna and Balaram. So that day, from the killing of Denukasura, is the beginning of the Kaishur Leela. So these Leelas, we can discuss them on other beautiful days. Now we're getting ready for the Abhishek. And this Krishna Balaram, eternally, we're so fortunate. This is a place where they had their pastimes here in Vrindavan. We can remember these pastimes every day. We can walk in the same places and see Krishna Balaram as they're herding the calves, as they're herding the cows. Because this place where we are now, Vrindavan, is the eternal abode of Krishna and Balaram. Though we don't have the eyes to see them, because our eyes are covered with so many material desires, material aspirations in this world, when our eyes become purified with that premanjana, by chanting Hare Krishna, we will one day be able to see Krishna Balaram herding the cows here in this eternal land of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna.